The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. Live in the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you? Shavua
tov. Tov shim today, Howard.
Yes, thank you. All good. We've been talking about all things environmental and environmental marketing, so it does leave
Absolutely.
Me a little bit befuddled. All right, getting
well,
on.
We should talk about what goes on in Israel on that front as well.
That is true.
Maybe to have a chat with Dina as well about that at some point, because there's a lot of environmental awareness going on around Israel too. We're not quite down to the paper store story, but just one little snippet that Israel uses so much throwaway crockery and cutlery because of the kashrut issue, and there's been a lot written about the fact that Israel really needs to subscribe to the new European Union standards now, which says that use of these plastic plates and crockery and cutlery really needs to be reduced significantly. We can talk about that at some point as well.
We most definitely should. Starting off with a unpleasant story, two IDF soldiers have been injured in a ramming attack near to Ramallah in the early hours of this morning. What is known about this attack?
So what we understand is that there was a group of IDF soldiers who were stationed at the entrance to the village of Kfar Nima, which is not far from Ramallah in the Binyamin district of Shomron, of Samaria. And apparently they were effectively run down by a group who were driving a car at fair speed and who drove the car into this group of soldiers at the entrance to the village. We understand that soldiers from the unit immediately opened fire on those who were in the car. Two of the people in the car were actually killed, and a third one was wounded. But unfortunately, in the process, an IDF soldier has been quite seriously injured. He's been identified as an IDF officer who is considered to be seriously injured in this attack. He was conscious when he was being treated by the medical team at the scene before being evacuated to hospital. But we understand that he is suffering from what has been described as multi-system injury. So we will be following his condition quite carefully during the course of today. The second person who was injured was a soldier from the border police who was stationed with them. He seems to have been seriously wounded, considered to be lightly injured at this time. So he seems to be reasonably okay. But we will obviously be following the condition of these two soldiers very, very carefully indeed. And of course, it comes after a whole series of incidents that have taken place, which are not really important enough to make the headlines once again. They're kind of hidden behind the scenes in the pages of the newspapers. Apparently, the IDF has been accused of attacking targets in that southern Syrian area, in the Quneitra area. And also the IDF was involved in attacking targets against Hamas targets in Gaza again overnight. And this comes after there was a series of explosive devices that were hurled across the Gaza border fence over the past few days. There were no casualties reported in any of the incidents along the Gaza area, but there is still a lot of tension along the Gaza border despite the cold and rainy weather. There have been incidents of balloons with explosive devices that have actually been sent over the border and have caused damage to property. And this solicited a response from the IDF as well. And so, you know, there is still a lot of tension, even though the front pages of the newspapers and certainly not the international press, are just not covering this at all. Mm.
What's interesting to me is it's almost like a low grade terror. It's just, it's not big enough to be explosive and on the front pages, but it just sits there. It just sits there and it's constant and unrelenting.
Exactly, and especially for the people who live in that area, one has to, you know, consider the citizens of the Israeli citizens who live around the Gaza envelope area, the Gaza border area, and they are on tenterhooks a lot of the time, wondering when the next siren is going to go off, wondering if they can go about their daily business without having to consider the possibility of having to run to bomb shelters. So, and of course, a lot of IDF activity on that border. When you see the groups of Palestinians who gather on the Gaza side of the border, and they begin to hurl explosive devices across the border. You know, we are looking forward to the moment when that fence will be eventually built, and that will perhaps protect soldiers and citizens from the sort of abuse that they're having to endure at the moment, which is just really not achieving anything and is not welcome at all.
All right, moving on. It was announced as expected on Thursday that Prime Minister Netanyahu will be indicted on charges of corruption. We didn't speak about this. We did anticipate it. But how was this news received?
Well, I think that obviously everybody had been expecting for some time that the indictment would be recommended. And I need to emphasize that he has not yet been indicted. This is just a recommendation by the Attorney General on the basis of evidence that's been presented to him that the Prime Minister should be indicted on these three charges of corruption. Apparently, you know, there is going to be some sort of a process between now and then. But in terms of the reaction, I think that, you know, as I said before, those people who are supporters of Netanyahu seem to be intent on supporting him no matter what. And more than that, they seem to consider all of this to be trumped up charges, to be an attempt by the left wing of politics to somehow do whatever they can to unseat the Prime Minister. Netanyahu certainly has his political enemies, not a few of them. There are numerous people out there who would be happy to see him being unseated as Prime Minister. And there are some of them who would really do almost anything in order to see that happen. And so it is not beyond the realms of possibility that there could be some of his enemies getting up to tricks in order to somehow present the situation to be a lot worse than it really is. And certainly that's the position that's been taken by Netanyahu himself and by those people who support him in his inner circle. And of course, by the Likud in general, who see Netanyahu as being the only opportunity, the only option of winning the general election, which is now only approximately a month away, about 5 weeks, more or less, the 9th of April. So it's becoming very, very close indeed. And the Likud sees Netanyahu as really being their ticket to winning the election somehow. Those people who are against Netanyahu will be against him no matter what. And so therefore, obviously, this recommendation of an indictment has fueled their hatred towards him, their dislike of him. It's just given them more reason to say, look, now the legal system has intervened and the legal system independently has ascertained that he has charges to answer. I think that the people that we really need to consider are those who were perhaps sitting on the fence, not knowing which way to go. And I think that their influence has really been towards against Netanyahu by the recommendation that he will be indicted. And it's interesting that Benny Gantz, who is now considered to be Netanyahu's main rival in the elections coming up on the 9th of April, and the possible person who, or the only possible person who could potentially be an alternative prime minister, increasingly looking that way. He held a press conference on Thursday night immediately after the announcement of the recommendation of the indictment, and he simply said that, you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu has served the country for many, many years. They worked together when Benny Gantz was Chief of General Staff. Now that he has these legal charges hanging over his head, he feels that it's the right time for the Prime Minister to step down and say, this is, it's not okay for Israel to be governed by a Prime Minister who is in parallel being charged with charges of corruption. And he feels that the only right thing for the Prime Minister to do is for him to step down from his position, to not contest the election, and to defend himself against these charges of corruption. Of course, this is potentially a political ploy on the part of Gantz to somehow weaken Netanyahu. And to be fair, it's worked, because in the latest opinion polls, it's showing that Gantz and Lapid's Kahol V'Lavan, blue and white coalition, is leading the Likud by as many as 9 seats, which is very, very surprising, only 5 weeks before the election. So potentially, you know, his approach, his attitude, the way that he's reacted to the recommendation of the indictment has really played into his hands, and he's, you know, using it as best he can to make political capital out of the situation.
Do you think there's any chance that Netanyahu will step down? I mean, what are the next steps now?
Well, the legal system has emphasized, and particularly the state prosecutor has emphasized, that the next step is really for the prime minister to be given a chance to have a hearing in response to the recommendation, even before the indictment is actually served on him. So there's going to be a lengthy, drawn-out process, and there's no indication of when the prime minister will have his chance to make his statements before they decide whether finally to indict him or not. So this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. I don't see that a possibility happening between now and the time of the election. And I think under the circumstances, the prime minister is just going to battle on. He's given us reason to believe that he has absolutely no intention of stepping down at this stage, that he's going to continue to fight the election, that he's going to continue to serve as prime minister, at least up until then, and, of course, to respect the decision of the country when eventually we have the election. So it seems as if though it's going to be business as usual, and I think over the next 5 weeks until the election, Israelis are going to have to decide whether they feel okay to vote for a prime minister or vote potentially for a candidate who has major legal case hanging over his head, corruption while in office as prime minister, and whether it's okay to vote him into office and then allow him to serve as prime minister while he's going to have to battle these legal charges, as opposed to voting for the alternative. And I think it's not at all a simple decision to be made, because as of now, we're still not really quite sure exactly what the blue and white coalition stand for, other than the fact that they obviously want to unseat current Prime Minister Netanyahu, and that's their main main objective at this stage. It's not clear what their policies are going to be on the day after. And so this is a tactic that they're using just to somehow get a coalition together against the Prime Minister. There are doubts as to whether, even if they are the largest party in the Knesset, whether they will succeed in forming a coalition, because those right-wing parties who were supporters of the Likud have all vowed that they will not join a coalition that will be led by the blue and white Gantz and Lapid team. So therefore, they have to appeal more to those parties who are on the left wing of politics, and that kind of labels Gantz and Lapid as being left-wingers, because they are having to appeal to those on the left wing in order to join their coalition. Even that doesn't seem to be absolutely assured at this stage. So there is a possibility that they may well be the largest party in the Knesset after the election and unable to form a coalition government. So, you know, I think that all of this has really just thrown the whole election into more uncertainty, if that was possible, than before.
Yeah, and I maintain my discomfort with this announcement being made just before the elections, especially because, and I didn't understand it until you explained it now, that the indictment hasn't actually been officially given to him. He still has a hearing before that. So what then was the urgency to do this just before the election, whereas the hearing couldn't take place in any event, or is it most unlikely to take place before it? I think that I believe it puts him at a severe disadvantage. Everybody knew that that these things are pending and that there is this investigation, and they could have made their decision based on that. They didn't need this to disadvantage him, and that's whether you are a supporter of his or not. I think that that my view is that this is an unfair approach.
Of course, there are accusations that the Attorney General has meddled with the election process by making the announcement at this stage. Certainly, that comes from the Netanyahu supporters camp. There's no doubt that that is certainly one of the charges that have been made. Yeah. And it's ironic, because the Attorney General was previously someone who was pretty close to Netanyahu, formerly a cabinet secretary, and has been obviously appointed by Netanyahu. But at this stage of the game, obviously, the two of them are not on particularly friendly terms.
Absolutely. Time is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We will chat to you same time, same place tomorrow.